It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz at Chickies in South Philly. Join us today and every Monday, 6 o'clock, Brandon Graham show as we convince him to play one more year after this year. Chickies and Pete's is the official sports bar of the Philadelphia Eagles. Donovan McNabb joins us every week. It's brought to you by United Tire. Now is the time to make the right choice about who services your car. United Auto Service. Go to UnitedTire.com. That's UnitedTire.com. Don't drive alone. Drive United. How we doing, Donovan?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Big Five. What's up, brother?
Hey, man. Another great day. You know how it goes.
Man, we got the D yesterday. How you like that D? Pause.
You know what? you know what, man? It's finally, we were able to create the pass rush and clog up the running lane. They did a great job of containing Kamara, keeping them inside in the A and the B gap, which now Davis finally stepped up and Carter made their presence known in the inside. But give a lot of credit to the linebackers and the flow of being able to create tackles less than 5 yards. And force Derek Carr to beat you, which that's never really going to work out in their favor.
So how much of what you saw on defense is something that you think they can replicate throughout the year?
Well, it really all depends on the offense that we're facing. Obviously, what would happen against Atlanta when Bijan Robinson was effective running the football, they did an excellent job of opening up the running lanes for him and just kind of creating the mismatch versus him and the linebacker in space. He's going to win that battle. I think with Kamara, we were able to clog up the running lanes, and now you're forcing him to get outside to kind of work in our favor where we're pursuing sideline to sideline with our linebackers and safety.
Yeah, it was – we were all – I specifically, I'm not going to speak for anybody else, but the fact that the Eagles only allowed 13 points yesterday and had that defensive effort was not something I thought was even possible, much less could expect on Sunday.
Well, I think everybody looked at what New Orleans was able to do in the first 2 weeks of the season versus the Carolina Panthers and the Dallas Cowboys. Well, we've seen that both of those two teams aren't very good. And we have a very good team on paper. We just got to put it together consistently on both sides of the ball. I think our defense really stepped up for the challenge and forced Derek Carr to throw the football. Now, we put ourselves in tough situations at times in the passing game, but we were able to come out on top. Now, as far as us growing on both sides of the ball, the defense stepped up, you know, this past weekend. Now it's time for the offense to be a little bit more consistent. And if that happens and we have total team gains, then I think we'll start to see a little bit more of the double-digit wins from a standpoint in which, from fans, that's what we want to see.
Man, you know, Jalen had one of those games yesterday where you're like, man, he made a lot of nice throws. Some good reads, got the ball out to Dallas Goedert, Devontae Smith at times. But then we get those two turnovers, Five. Like how do we get that, or how does he get that out of his game? The interception.
Well,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think from the history standpoint with Jalen, Jalen's not a guy that's going to turn the football over a lot. Now, he may fumble the ball trying to create, you know, some things with his legs. He may throw an interception where you want that one back, but he's not a guy that's a volume turnover guy. And I think for Jalen, it was a sound game. He was efficient. You know, Dallas Goedert, I'm so glad we finally put him back in the offense to be effective, and we need to keep him in the offense because he's such a mismatch. Mm-hmm. When you have Barkley catching the ball out of the backfield and also running the football effectively like that, it opened up lanes for the interior part of the field. And that's where Dallas became very creative, and he became effective for us. And then they decided to play man and worked in our favor. But I just think for Jalen just needs to continue to be efficient and not really force the football. I thought that was a forced throw in the end zone. And just continue to work methodically, and things will work out in our favor. There's no need to play hero ball. There's no need to do anything kind of out of the ordinary. Just be methodical, continue to move the chains, and things that work out well for us offensively.
You're talking to Donovan McNabb. So I want to see if I can express this question to you and make it clear about Jalen and the turnovers, because we've talked about it now for the first three games, and it was a lot basically last year between the fumbles and the interceptions. There's enough there to see that he's doing it consistently. I would imagine when Jalen during the week is watching tape and preparing, he knows He knows that those are mistakes. How, if you're coaching Jalen Hurts, how do you get him to think in a game and not make those plays in a game the same way that he's able to do it in practice?
Well, one thing you don't want to do as a coach is you don't want to take the aggressiveness away from your quarterback. You don't want him to play cautious ball, and then he becomes a check down target. You want him to continue to push the ball downfield when the opportunity is there, but then there can't be any second guessing from your quarterback standpoint. And so I think what happened last year, it was more of a force of trying to get one or two people the ball instead of reading through your keys. Like I said, I was talking about it last week. There are a lot of guys running open. We just weren't seeing them. And so I think when Jalen watches the film, he'll start to see those opportunities that are there. But you have to throw the ball on time. And when I watch a lot of these quarterbacks now, there's no rhythm with the throws. There's a lot of floating, and there's a lot of reaction to a lot of the throws that they're making. And if you're just a tad bit late, then it's too late. You can't allow that window to close and think you're going to force it through the window, you know, just because you throw it harder. Because now they react a little bit faster than you think. So for Jalen, I mean, it was one interception. That one, I think he could have checked the ball down or ran himself. You know, and I'm sure he realized that as a quarterback. We've talked about many a times. And these are reactions that he's going to have to come up with and get corrected as he goes along. And I think he will.
You know, Smitty, we know he's slight. He's a slight-built wide receiver. And I think it's been a couple of weeks where he may have been pushed off his pattern, his route, and that may have contributed to it. We played with Pinky. We know Pinky wasn't the biggest person in the world either. I'm just trying to think from a quarterback standpoint. Do you lose confidence in throwing the ball over the middle there, or do you go back to your guy to make sure he knows you have confidence in him?
Well, no. You don't lose confidence in him. And the thing is, I'm glad you brought Pink up. Pink ran deep routes. Pink ran cross, you know, deep crosses. He ran all that stuff. And never lose confidence in him because he has great length. You know, he creates separation with his feet, and he has great length. So you want to put him in position where he can be successful. Now, you also want to protect your receiver by not trying to force the ball through a tight window. Mm-hmm. And that collision becomes a little bit harder than it should be. And so I think for a guy like, you know, Devontae runs great routes. He's a guy that has great hands. He's a great receiver, a complete receiver. And we need to take full advantage of that. And I think with him, you know, you have to be smart in putting him in the great situation. Now, that one where it took him out when he ran underneath, and he was, I mean, that's really fire. He took a shot from every angle, and I think one of the big but defensive tackles came in and trying to, you know, just finish off the play and knock his helmet off. So, I just think for Devontae, I mean, can keep doing what you're doing as a quarterback. You want to protect your guys.
Donovan, the offense racked up a ton of yards yesterday, more than 400. And they actually moved the ball against Atlanta, too, but end up with 15 points one week and 21 the other. They're moving the ball, but they're struggling in the red zone. What is the keys to them not struggling in the red zone the way that they have?
Well, I mean, you have to be smart with your play calling. You know, we all know, obviously, get the ball to Saquon, but defenses know that, too. I think on first and second down, it's so critical for our offense. We have to, you know, either get him outside the pocket, run the RPO game, find a way to get at least 3 yards on first down, 3 to 4 yards on the first down. Then second down, you can kind of work it after your first down success. And so it has to vary. But, again, you know, I think watching the way that we've been going about it, I wouldn't disagree with some of the calls that we've Kellen Moore has been making. We just have to execute a little bit better from an offensive standpoint.
What did you think of the call on – so it's the end of the first half. I think there's 14 seconds left. And the Eagles decide on a fake tush push in a – it was – so I haven't talked to one person who thought that was a good call. What did you think of the call?
I was looking for the tush push. I mean, we I know that Kelsey's not in there, but we've been doing pretty good with it. So I was – I mean, no team has really consistently stopped us with the tush push. So I was expecting the tush push. I think getting him outside – And you try to utilize speed. Now, that's not working in Saquon's favor. So I think they'll probably look at that film and say it was a bad call, and they'll get it correct.
You mentioned you called for you as a huge proponent of getting the tight end involved, and they did yesterday. What is that as simple as calling his number? How do you think they were able to get him as involved as they did?
It's as simple as creating, seeing the mismatch and going after it. They decided to play us man, especially on that last play. And we ran two rub routes to get him underneath. We ended up creating havoc by having linebackers running in the corners and safeties and left them wide open. But we have to find ways to press the linebackers and safeties with Dallas. Dallas is a guy that can move, and he has great body control and hands. And I thought what we did was we made it a point to get him involved. And that's because either AJ was out or we were trying to get Devontae the ball, but the second option now has to become Dallas. When I think, to be honest with you, Dallas has to be our second option if A.J. Brown is healthy, and our third option being Devontae. Not saying it has to be that way in play calling every play, but you have to be able to showcase Dallas, so now it creates opportunities on the outside.
What would this team be without Saquon, Favre?
We wouldn't be kind of joyful talking about what we're talking about. I'm just being honest. I mean, you know, it's one that starts our offense. He's really the engine that starts the offense. Now, Jalen's the guy that gets us set and gets us in position and be able to create great opportunities. But Saquon is really, he's what he was with the Giants. It's just that we don't have Daniel Jones. We have Jalen, which is much better. And I just think for what we've seen, he reminds me so much of Westbrook and the critical things that he can do in this offense. And it, to be honest with you, and it's not as much as him running the football, catching the football. He does a great job in the blitz pickup as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So given what you've seen from the Eagles this year and the rest of the league, how far away do you think the Eagles are from the top-level elite teams in the NFL right now?
Well, to be honest with you, it's great pairing in the league. We can't really say anybody stands out and separates themselves from anyone else. So I would say we're definitely a top five team in the league. And if our defense plays the way they've been playing in this last past week, I think that assures us in that top five position.
Well, Donovan, we always know that we come to you for the defense first and the quarterback stuff second, and we're going to continue that.
I appreciate you throwing the defense.
Yeah.
I know where you were going.
All right, Donovan, we appreciate you, man.
Appreciate it, bro.
All right, man. You guys stay safe and stay off the bridge.
Yeah. I love Donovan. You know, it's a bad feeling when your coach decides to go for it when they shouldn't. It's a bad feeling when your quarterback throws an interception. Also a bad feeling when you go to get hot water and there isn't any there. If your hot water heater, I always say hot water here, when your water heater isn't working, when you need a new one, you only need to know Bradford White. It's the best one. Your family deserves the best. You deserve the best. If it's at your place of business, your employees, your coworkers deserve the best. And Bradford White is built to be the best. It's going to last longer than any other water heater you could buy. You're not going to have to worry about it for at least a decade. It's made 100% in the USA. And also, that's why they want it installed professionally. So when I tell you Bradford White, that's not for a do-it-yourself thing. They want a plumbing pro to do it for you. I'll explain that in a second and why you should do that and how. So whether it's your home or your business, whether it's one of the new tankless water heaters or a tank one, Bradford White's going to give you the performance you expect and you deserve. Go to bradfordwhite.com to find a plumbing pro near you and to learn more. Five was very happy that we went to defense with him first. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Got to get the D in.
Yeah. Did you do that on purpose right at the beginning?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Jack, make sure you grab that audio.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Rios, North Philly. Rios, you're on WIP.
What's going on, Hard Chargers?
What's up, brother?
Rios?
What's up, gentlemen? Yeah, I mean, you know, y'all talking y'all things on here. I just want to point out some points. But number one, ultimately, I'm relieved and happy. Now, mind you, yesterday, I'm going my man cave. I'm by myself yesterday, chilling, watching the first half, and in the basement and everything. Man, I came this close to busting everything the hell up. I was so damn pissed in the first half. So, My ass got up, left, and I said, look, I just went to any bar, a bar that I'd never been to. So I just went chilling there. I said, if I'm going to break something, in here or whatever. I ain't going to bring my stuff. But anyway, that's another thing. So I'm watching the game, end up finding a gym, had a damn freaking good time at the bar. Okay. I'm talking my ish at the bar and everything, you know, while the Eagles doing whatever. So ultimately, I was very, very relieved because of the win. But just speaking on these things about us as a team, man, like, number one, ultimately, and y'all already noticed, if Jalen Hurts and the coach just get their freaking act together, man. Just get your act together. Look, we can't keep putting ourselves in positions that we are. Yes, okay, second half he did better. I don't give a damn. We can't put ourselves in dumb positions. So if he gets his act together, and I mean, I don't know what it is, and y'all let me know after this call whatever the situation is, but it seems like the throws that Jalen Hurts could throw a bomb nice. He could throw a bomb nice. When it comes to them blitzing and the scary out patterns that somebody does, a quick out or whatever, he'll throw that. Anything else, I don't know why it ain't thrown. So on that, outside of Sirianni and Kellen Moore needs to get all dimensions on the field. I don't know if he don't trust Jalen Hurts. I don't know what's wrong with some slants, digs, or whatever the hell. Give it to our playmakers and stop, like, Jalen Hurts going backwards, throwing while he's going backwards, like, looking scary. Stop that scary stuff. And Sirianni, come on, man. You a coach, bro. You in the NFL. You a professional coach, man. You got to get your stuff together. I don't know what to tell you about the dumb stuff that you're doing, man. You're going to be called Coach Dumb. Keep doing that stuff, man. You really want Belichick to come here, dog, because yes, that's what's going to happen. Already flirting with him. That's what's going to happen. Look, defense, we all love the defense. Hopefully it's sustainable. But let me tell you this. Let them young guys, you see what I tell y'all? Let me go with CJ GJ. He went in there on a mission. Hurt, whatever the situation is, no complaints. And he went in there to bring the pain and talk his ish. He stayed in everybody's face and talking. Let them guys bring that heat that way. That's what we needed. That's why I like CJ. Bring that heat. And then Jalen Carter, as long as you ain't doing nothing extra dumb, but bro, talk your ish and go ahead and smash somebody. I love the part when, okay, Slay, Devontae got hurt, and when they took Slay self all the way out, that the team felt like, yo, I was hyping that bar, and it felt like the team got mad. We need to get angry. Angry and violent. That's what we have to be. We can't win no other way. We can't win being smiley. We can't. We can't win being smiley. There's only one guy who can win being smiley, and that's Smiley Massey. You know what I mean? There's only one guy who could do that.
Take away his joy.
I ain't going to take away his joy, but okay. I do want him to stop smiling, since he want to act like now he looking like Hercules and got all diesel. Well, you can't keep smiling, man. Don't go somebody's neck and push them in their freaking back. But anyway, Eagles, yo, dog, they need to just keep staying nasty. Let these young cats do what they got to do. Stay nasty. I don't even know anything about her. Brandon Graham, shout out to you. But look, man, if Jalen and our coach get their act together like they should, man, let's get some balls thrown in the middle or whatever the situation is. But they get their act together. We got a very good team, gentlemen. Yeah, I mean, that's why it's so frustrating. And I put a lot of F-bombs in the bar. But they love me over there. Like, they like, yo, come back. I'm like, all right, bet. You know what I mean? So,
well, maybe not after a loss. Maybe they wouldn't be so happy if you broke.
Seems like an intense
loss,
viewing experience. Yeah.
My damn, what you call it, my pitcher was going to be broke or whatever. I was going to do something. But nah, I ain't going to break no stuff. I'm very respectable. I just didn't want to break my ish. You know what I mean?
All right, Rios. I appreciate the call, brother. You know, something that Rios said.
What do you think it's like watching a game with Rios?
Intense. Yeah, I'm sure it's intense.
Yeah, nice calm experience.
Yeah, it's 24 hours after the game. It's still intense. Can you imagine what it's like in the game?
Yeah.
You know, he mentioned Jalen throws a nice bomb. And you know, he's an okay thrower. He's just – Donovan even mentioned it. He's never going to be the best thrower that we have in any respect. He makes some nice passes. Some of them are okay. He's just – if people expect that he's going to be this three-step drop, you know, deliver it right on point, blah, 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 all that kind of – I have not seen that ever. It certainly doesn't mean he can't develop it. I wouldn't bet on it. I do wish, if there's one thing, and this is, as Donovan said, this is sort of a thing happening throughout the league. I do wish that sort of anticipatory throwing, if there's something in the offseason that he should work on, that is, I think they're leaving yards on the field. And when you talk about yards after catch, a lot of that happens because the quarterback is leading the receiver and gets them. The receiver doesn't have to stop. It doesn't mm-hmm. give the defender a chance to catch up to where the receiver is. So I think they leave yards on the field because of that. And that sure. is one thing that if he can get better at something, that would be one thing that would I think would raise his ceiling as a quarterback significantly.
Well, here's the thing. And that's, to me, that's more off-season talk.
Yeah, yeah,
like
it
where
is.
He ranks and this and that and the other. Yeah. Real question is he good enough to go win a Super Bowl with? That's all that really matters.
With this team, the way that it's constructed right
yes.
now.
Yes,
because
yes, this is the team he's on.
Yeah, they're in the overall grand scheme of things, there have been teams that have won with quarterbacks who are not as good as, you know, the top five quarterbacks or the top 10 quarterbacks in the league. But this team is built to score points, mm-hmm. and they're going to have to score points. We got a great you call for a great effort out of the defense. They got a great effort out of the defense. But there are going to be some games where the other team's going to score 30, and we're going to need that to score 31, you know?
Sure.
And when the team is built, when there's as much money and as much star power centered around the offense, they're going to have to score. You know, they're going to have to score. And his job, as much as anything else, is not to take points off the board. Everybody's mad about Nick taking three, you know, not taking the 3 points. And him throwing a touchdown in the end zone is taking
at least three points.
So that's taking points off the board, too.
Yeah, I agree. He needs to. I'm not saying he's going to do it every week, but that game he played against Buffalo last year, like that gives me the confidence and belief. He went toe-to-toe, him and Josh Allen. Might have been the game of the year. They both going back and forth, back and forth. Josh Allen, I think, had like 500 yards in that game or something, rushing and receiving.
Those are Bradbury's last play as an Eagle.
Yeah, so I Jalen has that in him. The turnover thing has got to go.
Yeah,
there's no other way around it.
You
can't turn the ball over like this.
No, not if we want you to be a 28 to 32 pass a game guy. You throw the ball 45 times and you throw a pick, the pick or two, whatever. But that's not what we want out of him. It's not how the team is designed, and he can't be a mistake guy in that way.
He
can't cost you points that way. So the rest of the show is yours. No more guests. 215-592-9494. The one thing I do want to talk about next, and Rios brought it up, was GJ's quote unquote nastiness, and Jalen Carter had some things to say at the end of the game too. We'll talk about the not just the play, but
like
the talk from those guys. We'll talk about that next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, Chickies and Pete's is your destination for the Eagles and the return of Red October. WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz at Chickies on Packer Avenue in South Philly. You can join Eagles fans at the Chickies and Pete's at Terminal E at the Philly Airport Friday before heading to Tampa for a tailgate at the gate party starting at 8 a.m. Nothing like bunch of Eagles fans, beer, and crab fries at 8 a.m. in the airport.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it sounds
shout
like
out to the Eagles fans that took over.
Oh, my goodness.
Took over the Bayou last night, yesterday.
It was crazy.
Over the weekend.
Yeah, I saw the videos from Elliot from the Fans of Philly thing, and when I see him posting that, I know he loves Fans of Philly. We all love Fans of Philly. I'm like, that's a small slice of what's happening. Mm-hmm. And then you hear at the game, when, on the Saquon run, the roar sounded as loud as any roar that happened for a Saints play.
Yeah.
You know, it was incredible. It was absolutely incredible.
I feel like we haven't seen a Eagles running back be able to have that kind of burst. And, like, Shady was side to side. And, like, he broke it against the Lions in 2013. But the way, like, Saquon just kept speeding up, he reached his highest speed since 2019 on that run.
Like 5 years ago. Yeah, that's incredible.
21 miles an hour.
That's incredible. Barry in Philly, you're on WIP. Barry.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Barry?
What's up, Barry?
Hello?
Oh. Hi, Barry.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, listen, I just called to say, hey, what's going on? Can y'all hear me?
Oh, my God.
Buzz, please talk to him. Jeff in Aston, you're on WIP.
Hey, fellas, how you?
Hey, Jeff.
We can hear you.
Hey, Jack. Listen, guys, I don't think Nick is going to make it.
And I'm too many wins?
Yeah, I mean, look. Even if he, outside of going to the Super Bowl, that's the only way Nick is going to keep his job. And I think that Nick has put himself in a position to where he is not even the leader of the football team. He doesn't have the influence like he used to have over this team any longer. That's Jalen.
How do you figure?
How do you figure Jalen is the leader of the team?
Because not just because Jalen addressed the team last week. I know that was a big deal, and Nick didn't. But to me, Jalen has kind of taken over, like, talking with the guys, encouraging the guys, and being the focal leader, from what I'm hearing, of the Eagles team.
Well, this just happened this year. You do know he was probed and prodded to do that this year. Because before this year, everybody was like, he doesn't have to be vocal. He doesn't have to talk.
Well, yeah, right. But he was probed and prodded because they had a huge culture issue last year.
Right.
So when you look at that, and let me ask you guys this.
Mm-hmm.
What influence does this head coach have over any portion of our team right now?
Let me ask you this.
He was hired to be an offensive guy.
Let me ask you this, Jeff. Mm-hmm. Why is it that every player to a man vouches for Nick Sirianni?
I think they like Nick. I like Nick. I really do.
Well, why do they like him? Why do they like him?
Because he's a nice guy. I think he's a good, influential type of person. I'm answering your question.
Uh-huh.
I think they like him because he's a nice guy. Anybody ever say that his stamp is on the offense, the defense, the special team, any portion of the team?
All I can do is ask the players. Everybody on the outside thinking they know exactly what Nick Sirianni does, they don't. They're just guessing. You're not in the building. I'm not in the building. I'm not in meetings. I'm not on a practice field.
I'm just telling you what
the players say about him. That's all. I'm just telling what the players say about him.
Okay, so now, does that translate into results on the field?
Well, look at his win-loss record since he became head coach.
It's a good win-loss record. He's got a good team. Okay, no doubt. You can't question. Listen, I'm not questioning his wins and losses. He's over in abundance. He's gone to a Super Bowl. He's gone to a championship game.
He's gone to the playoffs every year that he's been here.
He's gone to the playoffs every year he's been here. But when you look at the team now, this is that was then. This is now.
Okay.
Look at the decisions that he's making. These decisions that he's making, Ike, are not good decisions.
Well, yesterday he had a bad day. I wasn't one of the people who criticized him last week.
No,
everybody else had a problem with what they did on fourth down. I didn't. Yesterday, we're going back and forth here. You don't like him. I get it. I'm just telling you that the players that play for him do like him, and they do respect him.
I think they respect him. I think that they like him. But when you look at the decisions that he's making, like the Eagles could have, there's two games at least that the Eagles should be undefeated.
If Saquon catches the ball, they're undefeated.
You're right, no doubt. But this is where you get into critical games with opposing coaches and quarterbacks that are really, really good, and you cannot afford to make these kind of mistakes. My thing is this. When you look at the team by and large right now, because they had a huge culture issue now, that's gone. Who is your – when all the smoke is gone, now who is your real true leader on the team? And I don't think it's him. I really don't.
Here's the thing. The team isn't built up of one leader. There's several leaders. There's several voices on the team. We know all this already.
Let me ask you this, Ike.
Yes.
When you go to Kansas City, do you think that there's a
you're comparing
issue with
him to
team?
Arguably the greatest coach ever, or be one of the top five coaches ever?
Can I just add here?
How about Detroit? What about Dan Campbell? What about him?
Dan Campbell was a leader on that team.
What makes him a leader?
Because he has number one, the team's identity. His identity is on that team. They fight and they scratching their claw for him.
You don't think the team fought? You don't think the Eagles fighting and scratching claw for Nick Sirianni? Give me an example
not
where
anymore.
This team. Hold on. Give me an example other than those last six games last year, because I know that's what everybody points to. But what other time did the team lay down for Nick and quit on him?
No, I'm not. And I'm not talking about last year. I'm talking about now.
Okay.
I'm talking about what the makeup of this team is now. I think that the team fights and scratches and calls for the players and the leaders on that team that are right now. That's BG, that's definitely Jalen, that's I can't remember the other guy's name, the veteran on the team, but the Eagles are not, to me, in my opinion, fighting for Nick Sirianni. I believe that it's not an issue. I'm not even talking about last year. I'm just talking about right now. And I think it's reflective on his decision-making and his decision-making.
So who do you think they fought for yesterday? Each other?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I really do.
I know that's easy to say, though, but he's the coach.
He's the coach. But look at the players. The players have been rallying around each other. They have been. And to me, again, I think Jalen Hurts has more influence on this team now than Nick Sirianni does.
Yeah.
Not to criticize, I'm not trying to be critical of Nick, because Nick has a good record and he's been there. But we're talking about then as opposed to now. I think now it's a totally different makeup in terms of leadership and identity, especially identity on the team.
Can I ask you something, Jeff?
Sure.
When Andy Reid was here, didn't we consistently criticize him for game day decisions in terms of clock management?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. But it ended up, that just because you're not perfect at everything, you can be good at other things. So you said his decisions are killing the team. Isn't it possible?
Yes.
Don't you think Nick Sirianni makes more decisions all week than the one you didn't like yesterday?
No, I really don't, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I think he confers with the coordinators on the team. And I think he looks at what they're doing, and I think he talks to the coaches. But when you ask me that question, do I think that he has more influence over – he doesn't have influence over play calling. We know that. He doesn't have influence over the defense. He definitely has influence over the special team. So what – you guys tell me, what does he have influence over?
I don't know. I'm not on the team.
Okay, but how about
Spike ask? Hold on, Brandon will be here in an hour or so. Let Spike ask Brandon.
I'm going to ask,
and then see if you believe Brandon when Brandon tells you.
He won't.
Look, I'll tell you right now. I believe what Brandon says, but I do. But I'm gonna say this, Spike.
Yes.
I do believe that Brandon is going to look out and not put his coach under the bus.
There's nothing that anybody can tell you. Your mind is made up.
When you look at this team, and I think that honestly, when I look at the decisions that he's making, it's almost like he's trying to recreate that aura that he had over the team, and he did have it, but it's not there any longer.
Well, he's not going anywhere. I don't know what to tell you. He's not going anywhere anytime soon.
You don't think that he won't be replaced if he don't get to a championship game?
No.
Okay. Well, we disagree.
Oh, okay.
Brothers?
I mean, I disagree with a lot of people who thought he was going to be fired last year. It's okay.
Well, no, I didn't think he was going to be fired.
Well, but you're not the only person I talked to. There's a lot of people who thought he was going to be fired and should have been fired.
Okay. I didn't know that. All I'm talking about is this year, particularly from what I've seen based on these three games.
Mm-hmm.
What I've seen in terms of, I've never seen Nick make bad decisions like he's made these first three games.
They're only bad decisions when the players don't execute. I agree with you on the fourth down yesterday. If Saquon catches the ball, how is that a bad decision? The game is over.
It's not. But, Ike, should he have tried
I'm
that?
I'm done with this.
Well, I was just waiting. I was waiting for yours.
Yeah, I'm done. It's like the dogs chasing the tail.
Yeah, it just comes back to if his only job is to set the culture and you feel like they are fighting for each other and they're digging deep, but then it's Jalen who
Mr. Quiet.
Yeah, I admire the fact that he has clearly taken what they told him to heart and he has tried.
Mm-hmm.
But it is quite a leap to say that a guy who player said it came out through leaks that the entire organization thought that he was not enough of a leader last year, to all of a sudden, after three games, the entire team is playing for him instead of the coach. It just seems like quite a leap, doesn't it?
Yeah. I understand Nick is not everybody's cup of tea. I get that. But what we do with him is we like to pick and choose when we want to rip him, we want to place the blame on him. We rarely give him credit for anything.
Nothing. Nothing.
So I just don't get it, man. I don't know. So, I know he's quirky, but I think sometimes we get to a point where we've told ourselves so often that Nick Sirianni doesn't do anything, that we get to a point we just, and I say we, I'm speaking collectively, it's almost disrespectful to him.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know. If they make the playoffs again, I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yeah, if they make the playoffs, unless they get embarrassed in some sort
way. Unless they were to lose, yeah.
Yeah, in a completely embarrassing way, I would find it hard to believe. Because whatever the setup is, it is what the Eagles wanted.
It's what they wanted.
It is what they wanted. So I said a little while ago, there was some, you know, and Rios brought up the nastiness from CJGJ, who, by the way, got away with a late, threw a guy in the, at the side, got away with one yesterday. But him and Jalen Carter. So here's what CJGJ said after the game yesterday.
That's been the top offense in the league coming into today.
Top what?
The Saints. In terms of points.
Top what?
You're at the
top what? Ain't nothing get over that top from shot to Slade, shot to Q, shot to Vontae, shot to Reed, shot to Ringo, shot to Coach CP, shot to Coach JK, man. Best secondary in the league, that's the case.
I think I made out most of that.
Yeah. And then, so it was CJGJ after the game, and we all saw Jalen Carter at the end of the game making
I
didn't know what was going on there.
So he was yelling at the fans, it looked like, and he was also yelling at Tyrann Mathieu, who was on the field. Mm-hmm. He was just giving. So the defensive line coach tried to stop him. Mm-hmm. Then Nick tried to stop him. Then
Big Dom
tried to stop him, and no one could stop him.
Yeah.
Do you like that stuff? Do you like the CJGJ stuff after the game, the Jalen Carter stuff toward the end of the game? I know the coach is different than the players, but we didn't like when the coach did it last year. Do you like when these guys do this sort of stuff?
Yes and no. And it's a slippery slope. Because then when they go overboard and something happens, then we can't all of a sudden rip them because they're showing personality and they're showing attitude. I like it, especially for my defensive players. I want them to have a little attitude. I was okay with CJ. He's pumped up after the game. He's basically saying, all y'all were talking about the Saints and how great they were. We took that to heart as disrespect, and I ain't seen none of that today. I'm more okay with what he did. Jalen, it's a bad look, right? When your coach, your head coach,
dumb,
the head of security all have to come over to try to calm you down.
He wasn't listening to any
of them. No, it's more of a bad look than anything. It was semi-harmless, but you see that, and you're like, what the hell is going on over there?
All this, what goes through my head is maybe the Saints are a real team, and maybe in the playoffs we're facing the Saints.
Right.
Do I want them to have any extra motivation after when I'm facing them a second time, when they want revenge anyway, that they have two things that are bulletin board material,
sure,
that those players are going to remember? I'm not in the locker room. I don't have to do it. But Jalen Carter specifically, you know, but great. You had a great game. I don't know, 14 more of them, and then then we could have some conversations.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I was okay with CJ. He was in the locker room.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at that at the end of the game yesterday. I'm like, what the hell is going on with Jalen Carter right now?
It was crazy.
I thought he was into it with somebody on the team.
It was mostly the fans.
But it was the fans, yeah. I come to find that out a little bit later. But in the moment, I didn't know what was going on. I just see them trying to grab him. And he's like, get off me. And I'm like, man, even Big Dom can't even slow him down.
Clint Hurt's bigger than him, which was
– yeah.
Clint Hurt's a big dude.
Yeah.
And no one was calling him down.
No, it was. There was
I didn't want a flag or something. Yeah. Like somehow that it gets onto the field and then somehow the Saints come back and win. I don't know. That's what I was worried about.
Yeah.
James in Orlando, you're on WIP. What's up, James?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Mm. What's up, James?
Hey, first of all, shout out to Jack for getting final out. High hopes listener, counterpoint listener. I'm really happy for you, Jack.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Oh, look at that.
Final out tonight of a clinching to win the division.
Fingers
Absolutely.
Crossed.
Absolutely. We're going to win it tonight. So I want to talk, I think, some unsung heroes. You know, the right side of the line. Only one penalty after they came in, and they just rolled over those guys, you know? Yeah, Saquon doesn't run all that ground unless the right side of the line is doing their job.
I hope both guys, Lane Johnson specifically, just because it was a concussion. When I saw Lane Johnson walking off the field, I was like, oh, we're cooked. You know, we're cooked. And then I saw they showed the little clip of Mekhi Becton on the sideline trying to grab and push. Yeah. And he couldn't do it because of his finger. And I was, oh, we have no chance whatsoever. It's astounding to me.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Hand
injury.
I knew that was coming.
Come on, it's a 1 year deal. What are you, a baseball player?
Yeah, come on, big dog.
Yeah,
I need you back out there.
Tape it together,
brother.
Yeah. And then you know, second of all, shout out to Jahan Dotson for getting three Saints players to just knock into each other to make Dallas Goedert so wide open.
Yeah, shout out to that defensive coordinator for calling man defense.
A stunning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, why would you be in man coverage on 3rd and 16?
I was just saying the same thing. I was like, that's just bad defense.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Also, when the other team needs to score a touchdown. Right. Eagles needed to score a touchdown. So, yeah, it was – I agree with you, James. The fact that the right side of the offensive line played the way that they did after losing Becton and losing Lane Johnson. And we've seen the stats so many times about the Eagles' record with Lane and without Lane over the last several years.
Dude, they won a game in which we lost the turnover battle again.
Mm-hmm.
Three straight weeks.
And got a punt block. Would y'all forget they got the punt block?
Oh, I did forget about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That felt terrible in the moment. That felt like a game loser, actually.
I know the feeling.
Yeah.
I know that feeling. Getting a punt block.
Unbelievable.
Man, I won that game yesterday. You don't win the game usually when you – we used to have a stat. And this is 20 years ago when I played. Well, Harbaugh used to drill this into our brains about how important it is to not allow a punt to get blocked. It's like 80-some percent of teams who get the punt blocked, they lose.
Well, good to be in the 20% yesterday.
Like,
good to
goodness.
Be in the 20%. Those
and
plays
– turnover battle.
Block kicks, block field goals, and block punts – feel like giant momentum.
Oh, demoralizing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And from the punt one, this is obvious, but from a field position standpoint, you go from the other team having the ball on their own, the 15, to having the ball on your 30. It's just a massive swing.
Yeah.
It's a turnover. It's essentially a turnover.
Did they score off of that?
I don't remember.
I don't think they scored off that punt block, did they?
I don't remember.
Maybe a field goal, but I don't think so.
Well, they barely scored.
They barely scored at all.
All right. We have about an hour until the Brandon Graham show starts. If you're in the area, or maybe if you're heading to the Phillies game, you can stop by Chickie's first, see the Brandon Graham show. The Phillies will be on WIP, but you'll be able to watch and listen to the Brandon Graham show on the WIP YouTube channel. We do have an hour of the afternoon show until then. 215-592-9494. Coming up next is the top 5 of 5, and Jack, today it is game balls.
Yeah.
Will Jack give a game ball to Jalen Hurts? That is the question. We will find out next on the WIV Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.